and welcome to Stories from the Bunker, the weekly podcast where we look at the weird and the wonderful, the strange and the supernatural. Mm. And with me, Robin, today is Alex.
Oh, hello there, Robin.
Hello, Alex.
How's it going?
And Martin.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too. So what have you got for me today, gentlemen?
Well, you go first.
I will be talking about a very intriguing story regarding an alien, possibly. Ooh. Either way, a mysterious man who goes by the name of Indrid Cold.
Oh, I've heard of this guy, I think.
You definitely have. It has been a long time.
Yeah. Well, I haven't, so I'm intrigued.
Yeah. Mm, okay.
I've got a quiz for the end of the episode. 10 questions, as always, with a bonus question to decide the winner if there's a tiebreak. Mm. And Martin, what have you got?
Well, I've got a news story about Apple and their interference in politics, which has been quite topical this week.
That's interesting. I haven't heard anything about that. Okay. I'm intrigued.
You might have seen the headline, maybe. I'm not sure.
From aliens to Apple.
And a quiz to finish. Sounds like a perfect meal.
Sounds
perfect
like just a classic Stories from the Bunker, this.
It really does.
Is it going to be better? Is it going to be better or worse than a BLT? We'll find out. Are you guys fans of craft beer?
Oh, yeah.
Love the stuff.
Well, if any of our audience is at home as well, then they can get an exclusive offer from our friends at Beer 52.
Oh, what's Beer 52?
So Beer 52, they're a company which selects the most exclusive beers from all around the world in the craft beer scene.
You had me at beer.
Well, good, because Beer 52 will give our listeners 8 beers for no cost at all, except for a $4.95 postage, which is an incredible deal.
That's great, actually.
That's a great deal.
That is literally the cost of a pint in London.
Exactly.
It is.
How do we do that? How do our listeners do that?
So you go to Beer 52, that's B-E-E-R, beer, as you know, 52.com/bunker. Get 8 free craft beers, plus 2 additional craft beers.
So
amazing deal. That's less than 50p. Per beer. And not only that, but you also get Ferment Magazine, which tells you information about all of the beers that you've received.
Oh, nice.
Which is really interesting. Mm. And also you get a free snack. Who doesn't want a snack when you're having some beers?
Can you like tailor the selection? Because I know that I'm not a big fan of dark beers. I quite like light beers.
Yeah, absolutely. So you'd be going for your light beers. You can change your preferences. Whereas me, at this time of year, I love a good stout. Especially milk stout.
Oh,
yeah,
so you'd be requesting a box of stout then.
Well, yeah, probably.
Oh, nice.
Also, they're going to be craft beers from all around the world, like some of the nicest beers that you can try. See, you guys are all saying this, and I've got to be honest, I don't really know my way around craft beer. I was lying before. Whereas I could choose, you know, a random selection and just, you know, really start experimenting and get into it. Yeah.
And get some familiarity with real craft beer.
Oh, absolutely. So head on over to beer52.com/bunker for those 10 beers at a price of just $4.95 postage.
Brilliant.
There's nothing I like better than a cold beer. But have you heard the story of Indrid Cold?
Oh, I see that segue there. Didn't really work, but let's go with it.
Okay, so today I wanted to explore the mysterious, bizarre, and creepy story of the man from outer space, Indrid Cold, otherwise known as the Grinning Man. Either of you ever heard of him?
Yeah, that's more familiar.
Yeah? Well, very little is known about this ominous figure, but there are consistencies in the accounts of those who claim to have seen him. Much like the Men in Black, he appears at the site where UFO and other paranormal sightings have just been made.
Oh, right.
Or will soon like be made shortly afterwards.
So he's either a kind of predictor as well as a confirmation of...
He just kind of crops up around the times that UFO sightings happen.
Very suspicious.
Although he is human in appearance, he is over 6 feet tall, has small beady eyes set far apart, and wears a strange reflective suit, which is either green or blue, and kind of like metallic-y is how it's described.
If he's trying to blend in, he's not doing a great job, is
he? Not doing a good job. Yeah. Arguably worse than the Men in Black, who are just still stuck in the 50s.
Reflective suit.
Yeah.
Is it David Bowie?
Possibly. Yeah, maybe. And as you may have guessed, his most famous attribute, a wide smile that he keeps on his face.
Like a permagrin.
Yeah, like
just
a permanent.
Fixed on there.
Yeah, imagine
that's
the Joker
creepy.
Or something.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's really creepy.
Mm.
When you say over 6 feet tall, it's like, I think we're all around 6 feet tall, aren't we?
Yeah, but he's way over. You're looking at a 7 foot man.
You will notice this person.
Okay.
He's a tall, tall dude.
I see. Yeah.
The first known sighting of Indrid Cold was spoken about in John Keel's 1970 book, Strange Creatures from Time and Space.
Oh.
Do you recognize that author, John Keel? You should do.
Was he?
You both should do.
West Virginia.
He wrote the Mothman Prophecies.
Oh.
And did the whole... This,
I was thinking about the song. I was saying, what happened in West Virginia? I was going through the lyrics. Like,
oh, right. Okay. Okay, misunderstanding.
So he likes to investigate these paranormal sightings and experiences.
Yeah, but also this kind of happened around the same time as the Mothman sightings. And one of the sightings took place at Point Pleasant in West Virginia.
Oh, really?
But it seemingly had nothing to do with the Mothman sightings. So it's just an interesting coincidence.
Just to do with Dollar, my skeptical mind.
But the first sighting that he wrote about in this book took place, was taken by two young boys named James Yanchaitis and Martin Munov.
What a name.
Yeah, very interesting names. Who were walking home at roughly 9:45 p.m. on a road that was adjacent to the New Jersey Turnpike. And they were walking along the road and there was a wire fence that was placed alongside the road that they were walking along.
In New Jersey?
In New Jersey.
Oh, okay, sorry. What was the West Virginia thing then?
So this is one of the other sightings that I will come on to.
Okay.
I'm sorry if there was some confusion there.
Sorry.
So the boys had heard that a tall green man had chased a woman in the neighborhood earlier that evening.
Gosh.
And the boys, while they were walking home, encountered a strange man standing in the bushes on the opposite side of the fence, staring at a nearby house. Yanchaitis described the figure as the strangest guy we've ever seen. He was standing behind that fence. I don't know how he got there. He was the biggest man I ever saw.
Wow.
So over 6 feet.
And then some, yeah.
And then some. And was he green?
Well, he didn't really go into that level of detail, but he just said he was the strangest man he'd ever seen.
He might have mentioned him being green. Maybe you can see in the bushes.
I was going to say, standing in the bushes, it was night time.
And they might not have been able to see him if he was green in the bushes.
Maybe.
Well, apparently they didn't see him.
They did. Apparently.
So maybe he wasn't green. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm imagining like pale gray skin or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, green gray. But this is terrifying. Okay. Like, if you encountered someone like that standing in the bushes staring at a house,
At the moment, I'd think it was, call the police territory.
Yeah, yeah.
But they do go into a bit more detail.
A peeper.
Yeah, a peeper, that
least,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
As both boys studied the figure, they saw that he was wearing a one-piece suit that was reflecting the light from the street lamp. And that he also had a black belt around his waist.
Hmm.
That's not an odd thing to have, really. That's just a regular piece of...
But if it's on the outside of the suit,
in a one
suit.
It's true, yeah.
One piece suit, yeah. It sounds like a jumpsuit.
It just made me think of a green man from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. You see that? Charlie dresses up in a green one-piece suit, just runs around.
There you go.
I haven't.
Some people at home will see...
They'll be laughing their heads off.
Maybe.
In terms of physical features, the boys claimed that he had two beady little eyes that seemed a little bit too far apart, and that the figure had no ears, no nose, and no hair. That they would have started with that.
Yeah, his eyes were quite far apart. It was a bit weird. He's quite tall. Also, he had no hair, and he was an alien.
Sounds like Voldemort so far, doesn't he?
Yeah.
According to Munov, Jimmy nudged me and said, "Who's that guy standing behind you?" I looked around and there he was, behind the fence, just standing there. He pivoted around and looked right at us. Then he grinned a big old grin.
Oh, so So he went from not grinning to grinning, sounds like, from the story.
Yeah. Mm. So he had just a really creepy big grin.
Oh,
this man with no nose or ears.
And just tiny
just standing
eyes,
in the bushes.
Mm.
Very creepy.
I'd be running at that point, I think.
Well, now that you mention it, the boys ran home immediately,
refusing
to give him the chance to give chase.
Yep.
So what's strange about this story is on that very same night, a UFO was sighted 40 miles north of Elizabeth City by a police officer and his wife, who described the UFO as being extremely bright, an extremely bright light that eventually disappeared behind some nearby hills. Mm. And then on the other side of those hills... two police officers, Patrolman Edward Wester and Sergeant Benjamin Thompson, both reported witnessing the UFO craft as well.
Oh, right,
so there, it was a well-documented UFO sighting with multiple reliable witnesses.
Yeah. It's interesting that the police saw it themselves rather than it being kind of dialed into them or reported, right?
Yeah.
And Sergeant Thompson even stated that the UFO was bright enough that it temporarily blinded him.
Wow.
And he was unable to see for roughly 20 minutes afterwards.
20 minutes?
20 minutes. So, yeah. And we don't know what this was. So because of how this grinning man and the UFO were sighted at the same time, this led many people to believe that this entity, this Indrid Cold, was maybe an alien or related to the UFO in some capacity.
Mm. Mm. Quick question.
Go on.
That you probably won't have the answer to, because why would you know? Do you know which was cited beforehand? Was it reported that there was a UFO sighting first, and then the two boys then reported that this man, they'd seen this man?
That seems to be the discrepancy here, because this came out in the 1970s.
The timings make a massive difference if they're independent from one another.
Yeah.
So this was first written in the 1970 book by John Keel. Sure. How he found these two boys and got their testimony, we don't really know.
Yeah.
Right.
We don't know how he found this sighting out. Right. There was no record of this being reported before this 1970 book.
Okay.
Whereas presumably this UFO sighting by these police officers was made,
well, like in the news,
documented in the news and that kind of thing. So that's a very astute thing to point out. However, this was not the most famous sighting of Indrid Cold, which took place just 1 month after this purported incident.
Okay.
So in November 1966, a sewing machine salesman by the name of Woodrow Dernberger was driving down Interstate 77 near Point Pleasant, West Virginia. So this is where that sighting took place.
West Virginia, country home, country roads, take me home.
That's the one, you got it.
Country home, take me roads.
Take me roads.
And West Virginia is obviously famous for the Mothman, which...
as well as Spider-Man and Batman.
Mothman and Spider-Man. And
with the Mothman.
And Superman.
It's right, carry on.
So the Mothman sightings actually appeared around the same time, but apparently didn't have anything to do with the sighting.
Hmm.
So after this first sighting, he gave a TV interview the following day.
Well, Mothman?
No.
Indra Cole. No.
Woodrow Dernberger, yeah, gave a TV interview the following day describing his encounter. So this is how he described it. I am a salesman and I drive a truck. Coming home from Marietta, Ohio, coming down Interstate 77, and just before I came to the intersection of Route 47, there was a car past me, overtaking me from behind. And following closely behind this car was this unidentified flying object. And as the car passed me, this object was following close behind it and swerved directly in front of my truck, turning crosswise. And when it turned crosswise, it slowed down. It started slowing, not abruptly or too fast, and gave me plenty of time to step on my brakes and slow down with it. But it forced me to come to a complete stop. As soon as I had stopped, there was a door opened in this side of the vehicle.
Wow.
And this man stepped out.
What?
He came directly to me, came to the truck. He walked to the right-hand side of the truck and told me to roll down the window.
Spoke English?
Well,
signaled.
He actually spoke to him telepathically, but yes, in English.
Oh, right.
He did what he was asked. And this man stood there, and he first asked me what I was called, and I knew that he meant what my name was, and I told him my name. And then he asked me, he said, "Why are you frightened? We mean you no harm. We wish you only happiness."
Hmm.
And I told him my name, and when I told him my name, he said he was called Cold. That was the name that he was called by, apparently.
He only said Cold, he didn't say Indrid.
Yeah, and actually, okay. I don't know where the name Indrid comes from, because in this sighting, he never mentions
Indrid.
He was called Indrid Cold. And I'm not sure where that was first popularized, but this is the first I've heard of that, you know, Indrid Cold came about. So it's interesting.
Point,
if any of you know that, where Indrid came from, let us know.
Yeah, please do. Send us a message on Twitter. I'm at All Time Robin.
I'm at Alex Brown ATC.
At All Time Martin.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. So the pair apparently then engaged in some small talk, which...
telepathically.
Happened telepathically. Or apparently...
So you have any good sewing machines in the bag?
Apparently, Indrid told him twice, because he was talking out loud, whereas Indrid was talking to him telepathically.
Right.
And he was like, you know, you don't have to talk out loud to me. You can just think it, and I'll be able to hear.
That's dangerous, isn't it?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So this guy, Woodrow, was kept saying, like, oh, I'm going here, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And he was like, just think it. You don't need to talk. It's fine.
I said think.
Yeah.
I mean, what do they have in common, though? Let's be honest.
Yeah, why did he pick this guy, Dernberger? Yeah.
And also, he was
interesting.
It seemed like he was almost chasing after another car, right? And then slowed down in front of him.
Maybe he was just after someone to talk to, and it was this lonely interstate. And the other car was like, "Nope, I'm not stopping for
this
alien."
Yeah,
yeah.
But this is the closest encounter that I can think of.
Mm.
You know, the physical UFO parked right in front of your own truck, and then someone gets out.
Just a bloke stepped out and was like, "All right, mate,
says hello.
How's it going?"
Talks to you telepathically. Yeah, this is crazy.
So they engaged in some small talk.
Actually, he asked him to wind down the window.
Yeah.
You're speaking to him telepathically. Why do you have to wind down the window?
Yeah, it's just polite, I guess. Is but it? That is a good, I guess, yeah, wind down the
window and then we won't talk.
Why?
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a good point. I didn't think of that. So Indrid Cold asked him where the road was heading and where he was going. And eventually, after some small talk, Cold got back in his spaceship and flew away. But the journey with the man from space didn't end there. Woodrow Dernberger didn't make any money from his story when he told people. He gained a lot of publicity from it, but he didn't make any money.
Yeah.
And he even claimed that this story cost him his job and his wife. His wife left him.
Oh, no. That's sad.
Yeah. However, he claimed that every so often he would be visited by Indrid Cold at his home.
Wow.
And many people doubted his story. Woodrow never recanted this testimony. He never changed his story. He just said, yeah, Indrid visits from time to time.
Incredible.
Fair play. Yeah. Sticking to your guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. An actual even friendship after, developed with an alien.
Yeah, it's kind of odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
It makes me wonder, though, why if it was a fairly regular thing, you know, Indrid would visit him, why he wasn't like, look, mate, you're ruining my life. Yeah. Can I at least take a picture with you and show people I'm not crazy?
Yeah.
Wife's left. And access to the kids, but they don't want to see me.
Yeah. As for any more evidence of Indrid Cold, these are the main stories.
Right.
After this year of, you know, or this month of sightings, he seemed to drop off the radar. There was no, there's been more.
Some could say the case went cold.
Uh-huh.
Oh, very good. Uh-huh. That was actually my last line, but it's fine.
Really?
No, I'm not that smart. but like in John Keel's book and in other like places that report these stories online that talk about these cases, they say, many other people have reported seeing him.
Right.
But actually, these are the only cases that really speak about Indrid Cold, which is interesting.
That kind of makes sense. I mean, that because if an alien is visiting the planet, unless they're stationed here permanently as some kind of spy or observer, then you think it would just be a kind of exploratory little trip.
Yeah.
You know? And of course, they'd stay here for more than a month. You want to get your money's worth if you're going to visit another planet. It kind of makes sense. Because most UFOs, I assume, and I think most people assume this too, every time a UFO is reported or there's some kind of close encounter with actual aliens, it tends to be a one-off event.
Mm.
That's my interpretation of how these things are. So all the aliens came down, grabbed this person, did their thing, and then went away. But in this case, it kind of makes sense that you'd have an alien coming down to spend a little bit of time here, observing people, getting to know the area. And maybe there are many aliens all around the world who've been given little patches of ground to observe. And he's just on the East Coast. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that explains the kind of grinning, you know, that maybe if they're sent on like a reconnaissance thing, maybe the aliens have like studied humans and they're like, right, they're more receptive if you're smiling. Yeah. So they just paint these grins on and it just comes across as really weird.
Really
and, like,
creepy.
It's like, please talk to me.
I see all the time, isn't it?
Like Arnold Schwarzenegger's T-800 in Terminator 2 when John Connor's teaching him how to smile.
Exactly.
And it's like mimics the movements. Like, that's not how a smile works. Yeah. But, you know, you'll get that eventually.
Exactly. And meanwhile, they look absolutely like terrifying monsters with no hair or ears or noses.
I've got no hair and ears or nose, but I can smile. So,
But that's a good theory, though, that's why these sightings only took place across the course of 2 months in 1 year. However, I would put forward a counter argument. Maybe it's because America at this time was having a bit of a surge of, you know, paranormal phenomena. Maybe that explains the Mothman.
The Mothman. That famous Mothman.
Spider-Man. Explains the Mothman sightings as well that was going on around this time. Yeah. And also in New Jersey, if you look at it, there were UFO sightings constantly New Jersey. So it's almost like no matter when the sighting of Indrid Cold happened, they'd be able to link it to some other UFO sighting that was taking place.
Right.
I think America was just in this kind of, UFO sightings and paranormal events were so common around this time in 1966.
And a lot of scientists and skeptics put that down to just mass hysteria and kind of...
Yeah, and also, like, I mean, books like this probably didn't help coming out. John Keel, Mothman Prophecies coming out, and all these sci-fi writers were really writing around this time. The story of Roswell, I think, was broken not too long before
it
this.
It was, actually. It was... Yeah, you're right. But there's also... as soon as you've got one public story, it's hard to attribute any validity to the other stories, isn't it?
Yeah.
The veracity is really hard to prove, because as soon as you've got one detailed story published, everyone else can just create those details.
You jump
or impose unintentionally those details upon their own experience, which, you know,
yes,
creates an experience, yeah, that's an encounter that sounds the same, but actually isn't, because they've just unintentionally morphed something they've read with something that actually happened to them.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, police, that classic thing. Police publish details of a murder, but they keep a few detail secrets so that they can catch the genuine criminals and separate them from all the people who just come and confess to the crime.
Sure.
It's that kind of problem.
True. Yeah.
So, what I'm saying is, even if there are other encounters that have been published since then, these are the only two that we can really say are genuine.
Of Indrid Cold,
because they're the first ones.
That's
that
very
were reported,
true.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
Maybe I missed it, but how do we know that the first one was Indrid Cold as well?
I think it was just like the most, a lot of the details matched
the second
one. Okay. Mm. So it can be, and it happened, purportedly happened before the, that was the actual first encounter. Mm. So it makes sense, I think.
Yeah. It was never mentioned that his name was Cold as he did with the second.
No, but I think the details matched quite well.
Okay.
I think that was pretty much it, but it's a good point. And also, like, any subsequent sightings could have been misconstrued as the Men in Black or something, when actually it was Indrid Cold or vice versa.
Yeah, yeah, good point. Yeah,
yeah, because I mean, it's a very similar kind of description.
That grey skin, no hair,
yeah,
look is classic Men in Black, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, maybe people who think they've seen the Men in Black have actually seen this Indrid Cold guy, who doesn't seem like that too bad a guy.
He just wants to
hang out for
just
a bit.
Of course, the two boys could have seen a different alien from the same species as Indrid Cold.
Yes.
Possibly.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Maybe, yeah, if they're working in tandem with one another. Yeah.
Maybe they were visiting around this time in the States. Mm. And that explains all these UFO sightings, and maybe even the Mothman.
Yes.
The Mothman himself, maybe.
Yeah. It's funny that this is happening around the same time and around the same place. It's crazy. Mm.
Really, but yeah, really, what do you think? Do you think he actually existed, or are you not convinced?
I mean, like most UFO sightings, it is testimony of the people that saw it, right?
Yeah.
And back to the point I made earlier about the timings of the sightings, and like we mentioned, in terms of kind of the evidence for one can be built around someone else's testimony.
Yes.
Mm.
Which then almost backs up the first one, right?
Yeah.
So I'm naturally quite skeptical about individual sightings, because it relies so heavily on personal experience. But that's not to disprove that these people, not to say that these people didn't see what they saw, or that they didn't think they saw what they saw. It's just to say that naturally, I think you have to be skeptical if there is only a few sightings, and if what seems likely is that one was based on the other.
Mm. I'm also quite skeptical. I don't know, maybe this was just how it was back in the day at this time. Maybe this was just how boring news was in like 1966. But I mean,
England won the World Cup, mate.
I mean, that's irrelevant in West Virginia. But I mean, so this guy had his sighting with Indrid Cold, and the very next day was on TV talking about it.
Yeah.
That's a
bit suspicious.
Yeah, although he didn't get anything out of it, I guess. Yeah. That's the other thing, which is quite... In fact, he lost a lot.
But as to whether he tried to get anything out of it...
Yeah, he just failed completely.
Yeah. But also, and also maybe it's kind of... This is pure speculation, and I have nothing to back this up. I'm just throwing this out.
Speculate away.
Maybe he didn't lose his job or his wife because of this. Maybe that was... maybe he was going... he was losing his job and his wife, and this was just kind of like a step along the process of him, you know, being a
bit... somehow kind of created this personality to project his turbulent life.
He had a lot of problems going on in his life, and this came at like...
It's a possibility.
It would be nice to interview his wife and find out what she thinks.
Yeah.
It would be nice to know. And the kids, if they had any.
I do not know that.
Where are they? It's
they don't want to see me.
Track down the Dernbergers. They can't be too difficult to find.
That's interesting because, that's certainly a sighting that I didn't know much about at all. Mm.
That's really interesting.
There you go.
Yeah. What do you guys at home think, listening to us or watching us on YouTube? Please let us know your thoughts again at our Twitter addresses. I'm at All Time Robin.
At All Time Martin.
At Alex Brown ATC.
Or if you're watching us on YouTube, please comment in the comments below.
It'd be great if you guys would review us on Apple or on Spotify or wherever else because we haven't shouted out to that in a little while.
No.
And I think it's always nice to read those kind of comments. And also they boost this podcast up the rankings as well. So,
which really helps.
So that'd be really helpful. Yeah, thank you.
And speaking of your comments, I've got a comment on the last year's, I think it was last year's, maybe it was the year before, a video about Krampus, remember? Christmas demon. And Xander Garner A113, nice reference, I get it, said, "It's almost Christmas and I'm scared now."
Yeah, less than a month to go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, was that a new comment or was that
brand
from
new?
Last year?
Yeah, just today, in fact.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we said that last year and we didn't get killed by Krampus. So, I mean, don't worry about it. You'll probably be fine.
No. Have you seen Inside Number 9?
No. Is there a Krampus episode?
There's a Krampus episode. Yeah. It gets really dark.
Oh, really?
But it's very good.
Okay.
Oh. So anyone who hasn't seen Inside Number 9, just do yourself a favor and watch it.
Show,
it's incredible.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, I've got a comment from Golden. This is on our most recent Mystery Files video. Just something that we can clear up, I think.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
They say the true mystery is, where did the iPad on the left go?
Aha!
We had an empty iPad case. Do you want to explain this, Robin?
The secret truth behind that is that the iPad was not fully charged.
Yes.
And it was on like 3% battery.
You just had your phone.
Just had my phone inside the case. So you got a comment?
Yeah, I've got one from Rocket Summer on our last Stories from the Bunker episode. Says, someone at my school spray painted Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself, look into it, on a rock in the middle of the quad, and I don't know who did it, but I'm proud.
Very true.
Yeah. There's been a lot of these, hasn't there, where people have managed to slip it into a sentence, whether on like the radio or TV.
It's the new jet fuel doesn't melt steel beams, right?
Yeah, it does seem like it.
Everybody's saying it
kind of sounds a bit like it, yeah. Do another comment?
Go for it.
So again, this was on our Mystery Files video. Varong Thang says, I found no videos regarding building a robot Robin on the Great Courses Plus, who of course sponsored that video. Sadly they don't cover that. You are one of a kind, Robin. And Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. So.
Okay, very good.
From the Great Courses Plus to the news, speaking of tech giants, Martin.
Yeah, so I've got a story about Apple. Apple have been meddling, if it were, in international relations. So let me take you back to 2014. Russia annexes Crimea, previously belonged to Ukraine after the fall of the Soviet Union.
Yes.
Well, actually, it belonged to Ukraine since the 50s, I believe.
Right.
Anyway, so that happened in 2014. Russia goes, we'll have that, thanks. Mm. They took over Crimea.
Yep.
Well, Apple until now, on their maps and their weather app, have shown Crimea to not be part of Russia.
Okay.
And I say until now because they've changed that. And now if you type in areas of Crimea and their names, it comes up with the name of the town or city, comma, Crimea, comma, Russia.
Wow.
Mm. Wow.
And I looked at this and thought,
wow.
I mean, and of course Ukraine aren't happy about it. That's the first thing to say. Ukraine, of course, they're not going to be happy.
Well, the international community isn't happy.
Exactly,
about
because they don't recognize Crimea
as being
Russian.
Take Crimea.
Exactly, exactly. And plus, I think Putin even said back then that they weren't going to annex it. They'd leave it up to the people who supposedly voted massively in favor of in the referendum of moving into Russia. So to speak.
Well, definitely didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. So So it's a really interesting one, and it's like these tech giants getting involved in politics when perhaps they shouldn't, or they're unwittingly choosing a political allegiance, right?
Mm.
And it puts them in a massively difficult situation.
Oddly, they're siding with Russia now in this scenario, which I wonder how that's come about.
Yeah. Either that, or they genuinely believe that Crimea is part of Russia because it has been for five years now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not really a threshold for of thing.
What's their position on the Gaza Strip?
Good point. You're going to have to look on Apple Maps.
Yeah. They have an Apple
but it's true.
Device.
Like, a lot of these places where there is such political divide and opinion over who this belongs to, especially territorial divides, there, I mean, it's pretty clear to most people that they probably should have picked the other side in this particular debate.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I wonder what the incentive was to choose this. I mean, they're a business, so they must be thinking about this from a business point of view. Yeah. Maybe it's the case of Russia said, like, if you don't do this, like, we'll not let you sell products in Russia.
It's hard not to imagine there's some kind of Russian pressure being brought to bear because they're an American company.
Yeah.
Who are based in America with a huge American market and a huge European market, including the Ukraine. So why?
Which will also show to anyone that businesses do not care about you. They don't have your back. They will happily betray their own country.
It's all about the money.
Or whatever.
Shiny dollars. They're always after the dollars.
It's money.
I mean, Russia were pleading for Apple to do this for a while. Mm. They were wanting them to. So it's kind of like,
the charm offensive has worked, I guess. Lobbying succeeded.
Or are they crumbling to Russian pressure? That's the thing. Like, does this set a precedent as well? You think about other areas of conflict within the world, that if you have the resources or the funding or the influence, you can get these companies to...
I mean, to that extent, what you're saying there is basically this is an example of that force at work. It doesn't matter whether it's the bad guys or the good guys bringing pressure. It's about, can governments influence companies through economics, presumably, for a political gain?
Yep.
Yes, they can. And they do. And the good guys and the bad guys do it.
And as much as we'd like to say that a lot of these companies are kind of independent of any national borders, they are global companies, but they're a US-based company, right?
Yeah, they have to choose a home.
Yeah, they're going to act as much as they can in the US's interests.
Yeah.
So I think there's a wider kind of discourse here that's going on between the US and Russia, and that the kind of the ties there. Have the US put pressure on Apple to conform to Russia's demands?
I mean, what's the relationship between Tim Cook and Donald Trump? Do they have a...
You mean Tim Apple?
Tim Apple, yes. Do we know what Tim Apple's attitude is towards Donald Trump? Because if they're good pals, then maybe Tim Cook would say, right, Trump's position is Russia can have Ukraine. Mm. We'll change the map to reflect that. Or is it more that, as you're implying, I think the Trump administration has leaned on Apple and said, right, if you don't want us to tax you massively...
You know, it's a possibility. Yeah. I'm not saying that has been the case. It might just be that they've seen Crimea as being in Russian hands for the last 5 years and thought, okay, now it's time. Like Google have done in March this year, also made Crimea as part of Russia
on their
map service.
I did not notice
so
that.
They are not, Apple aren't isolated, but they're the latest to do it out of the big tech giants.
I mean, in fairness, that's interesting because they could then, in that case, just be like, well, I mean, Google's already done it.
Mm.
Is it just like, but I mean, the international community still regards it as part of Ukraine, right? They reject that Russia owns Crimea.
Yeah.
So, I mean, why would Google take that stance then?
No.
Is it saying like, I mean, from an international standpoint, yes, it's Ukraine, but in a very real standpoint, Russia owns this now.
But again, though, is it Russia?
It's giving information on their app.
Because you know that Google's come under a lot of pressure from Russia about restrictions and all kinds of censorship going on. And Google's been fighting Russia for a long time, but I feel like in recent years, Russia's started to win the fight because Putin's just been so absolutist and said, well, you can't be here if you're not doing it my way.
Yep.
So maybe they've leaned on Google, and then maybe, Apple is following Google's lead and just trying to keep up with
the
competition.
It's easier if you're second, isn't it? The other argument could be that it's purely practical, right? So if a lot of Russians are living in Crimea, or if a lot of people from Crimea believe that they're Russian, then those visiting, if they type it in on maps, would prefer to see it as Russian, or would think, okay, well, I'm visiting Russia. If I type in Crimea, Russia, then it will come up with what I want to find.
That is a political decision, though, because nations are political entities. They're not determined by language, and they're certainly not determined by self-identification, because they're determined by whoever governs.
Yeah.
So you could say it's pragmatic because, Russia's been there, but that redefines how international politics works, because that means we're retreating back to an age where it's not about what the people think, it's about the pragmatic practice of government. So back to imperial times when, Britain invades an island and says, this is British.
This is ours now.
And there's one British governor living there. Everyone else is native, but they're all like, this is British.
Yeah.
But actually,
it's not.
It's not.
Yeah.
And they don't identify as British. I mean, partition in Ireland, for example. Ireland was British for a long time, but the Irish never saw it that way. And eventually, It wasn't entirely British. So yeah, it's
yeah.
But then that's for politicians and for governments to decide, and for the people to decide for themselves. But, yeah, it's not for global corporations to decide.
Do they do in the meantime? Do they just have it as Ukrainian, or do they not put it? I mean, one thing they could have done is definitely put markings on the map that said, okay, this is a disputed area.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or not put Russia or Ukraine, just put Crimea, right?
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I thought that was what they'd do. They just mark it out as Crimea.
I reckon that's what they do with the Gaza Strip. Yeah. I think that's probably what they do. Just disputed territory.
Yeah,
or
disputed.
Something.
Yeah. And then you're avoiding all that hassle.
So
there must be a reason
they accepted,
for it.
Yeah. Well, that's because, I mean, you might. When does it stop? When the Catalans in Spain don't. They want to be independent. The Scottish want to be independent. They've got their own government and they see themselves as separate from Britain.
Exactly. And I think that's what brings us back to, okay, what influence does Russia have over Apple, over Google, compared to Ukraine? I mean, the international community, yeah, they'll be like, oh, this is bad. But they don't really care, do they, what Apple or Google identify Crimea as? Not really. It doesn't make that much
difference. I don't
really
know
what
repercussions they could do at the moment. With
Apple
and Google.
It's the old argument of... it's brainwashing propaganda. You know, a generation of people growing up with those maps just see Crimea as Russian and they accept it.
Yeah,
it's propaganda.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, what could the international community do to Apple
other than sanctions? Or like
presumably
fine them for this. Yeah. Is that what's the law regarding this?
Good point.
You've betrayed your country.
Yeah. I don't know. I naively assumed there must be some kind of regulation of maps, but now that I think about it, there isn't. Is there? It's all private, right?
Yeah, well,
there's no authority on maps.
Well, that's it.
Let's make Britain a big triangle on maps. Just just make a map where it's a giant triangle. They're like, that's not right. It's like, well, make me change it.
Yeah.
Make America a giant penis. Just a big, big penis with Donald Trump's head on the end. And people be like, that's not America. It's like,
make what are you going to do about it?
What are you
going
to do about it?
Yeah. It's not in the right shape. <And what? laughs> So yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they actually pull back from that, but with following Google's lead, it doesn't look like they will. It's been widely condemned, but I imagine no action's going to be taken against them.
No, I think you're right.
Yeah.
The Ukraine, of course, have said, "I'll stick to your product. The iPhone's good, but you don't know what you're talking about." That's their stance.
Apple Maps has never been their strongest selling point, has it?
Yeah.
No. In fairness, you should basically assume whatever Apple Maps says is wrong. So maybe this works.
Does anyone use Apple Maps? That's something for our home. Does anyone use Apple Maps? Let us know, because I'm going to do a poll between Google and Apple Maps. I don't think anyone uses it, right?
Yeah, what do you use? Google or Apple Maps? Yeah,
that's the real question
in the poll above.
All right.
Time for a quiz?
I'm up
for a quiz. Yeah, definitely time for a quiz. Quiz time! In case you can hear us sipping at home, this is us drinking some beers as we play the quiz. But first, gentlemen, play me your buzzers. Alex?
I have gone for a classic this week.
Action, please. Champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
That is, as always,
like the best champagne, it's vintage dated.
It's fermented in the bottle.
Does it do anything? And Martin?
I declare bankruptcy!
Michael Scott.
There we go.
The Office. I declare bankruptcy.
Oh, Orson Welles and Michael Scott.
What a match made.
What a pair.
It's
okay, then.
Like a rap battle, doesn't it?
10 questions with a bonus question if there's a tie. Yeah. And first question, 4 points are available.
Oh,
what?
No.
Oh, come on.
These are bad questions.
I'm going to read.
Someone could get four. It could be 4-0.
I'm going to read four quotations. And you just need to tell me who said them. Was it Donald Trump or a movie villain?
Okay. Do you have to say which movie villain?
Have to say which. If you know, tell me. But
So do we buzz after each quotation?
Yeah.
Okay.
So first one is, the point is, you can never be too greedy.
The French.
That was Alex.
Or do we say it at the same time? How does this work?
If you say yours and then you can say the same one.
Oh, okay. So do we need to buzz?
Yeah, buzz.
Okay.
I'm going to say movie villain.
Okay. I'm going to go for Donald Trump.
It is Donald Trump. So that's a point to Martin. Yep.
I thought I'd be quite good at this.
Second one.
He actually said, what was that regarding? What's the context surrounding that?
The second quotation. East, west, just points of the compass, each as stupid as the other.
See, I'm
east, west, just points of the compass, as stupid as each other.
Yep.
Movie villain.
Yep. Martin, do you have a guess?
That sounds ridiculous. I'm going to go for movie villain as well.
You are both correct. You both get a point. It okay. is Dr. No from Dr. No.
Nice. Okay.
Okay.
Dr. No, vocal cords.
Second one. Third one, sorry. Third one. You are not a beautiful or unique snowflake.
Now,
this is actually more difficult than I thought. Very difficult.
I mean, who would he? If it was Trump, who would he be saying that to?
You and a
beautiful, beautiful or unique snowflake.
Could easily be saying it to a reporter.
It sounds like
that's what I'm thinking.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, you're right. I'm gonna go for movie villain. I've just gone for movie villain.
I'm gonna go for Trump.
Okay, it is a movie villain.
Yes,
it is Tyler Durden from Fight Club.
I knew I recognized him. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
So that's two all, I think. And then fourth quotation. I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue, shoot somebody, and I wouldn't lose any voters.
It's always been celebrated for its excellence.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Donald Donnie. Trump. That's Trump, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, you are correct. It is Donald Trump. So three all as we go into question two. Okay. Well done,
he's
guys.
He's probably right.
Well done. Okay.
Apart from the person who got shot, if they happen to be. Yeah.
You know your addresses, you know your street addresses?
Yes.
Well, what is 32 London Bridge Street better known as?
Oh.
There is a California.
That was Martin.
The Shard?
Mm.
I would,
spot on, it is the Shard. So, 4-3 to Martin. Damn. Question number three. What was proposed in 1964 but only discovered in 2012?
Give me a champagne by Paul Masson.
I don't know why this sprang to mind. Was it that Higgs boson particle?
The Higgs boson, yes. Higgs boson. It was.
Well done.
Well done. What else? For all, yeah.
Very good.
There you go.
Question number four. Which country is the world's biggest producer of kiwi fruit?
I declare bankruptcy!
I think it's going to be India.
No.
Okay. Mm.
Alex, you got a guess?
I don't know where kiwis grow.
Yeah, me neither. New Zealand's a red herring, obviously.
Yep.
I'm going to say...
Inspired by that same French excellence.
I reckon maybe somewhere in South America. Brazil.
Nope. I like that you both assume kiwi is a red herring.
Yeah, it will be.
I'm not saying.
Okay.
It's got to be.
I think that it's China.
You are correct. Oh. It is China, yeah. Which kind of immediately made me think, actually, are China just the biggest producers of anything anything that they make, right? If they choose to make it, they're probably going to be the largest producer. So what happens if you have such a massive country? So I think that's 5-4 to Martin. Question number five. In 2017, which movie was mistakenly announced as the Best Picture Oscar winner?
There is a California champ.
La La Land.
It was La La Land. Can you tell me the movie that
did it? Moonlight.
I think I still
got it. Do you get another point for that?
Well, no, because Alex got it. So it's 6-5. No, 5-all.
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 I wish it was 6-5. Yeah.
Okay, question number six.
Blimey.
Can you tell me the names? There's 1 point each. Can you tell me the names of the three NASA missions to study Mars launched this decade?
NASA missions?
3 points. Did we get all
1 point for each one.
Rover.
That's one. That's a thing. Rover that's not one. A mission. That's
isn't it? That's
a thing.
Curiosity
is one. Yep, that's a point.
That's good.
Okay, hang on.
Okay.
If we're doing that, Curiosity. It was like
Explorer.
No.
it's like a Viking or something.
Yeah. Damn straight.
Oh, I know what you're thinking of.
Oh, never mind then.
Viking
no.
One.
One of the names is kind of like we have a strand that we've very recently launched on the channel, a series of videos.
In Plain Sight.
Yes, it's very similar to that, but think about what NASA might call it.
Yeah.
Vision.
Sightseer.
Nope. You might consult somebody to get her... to gain...
insight.
Yes. Yes, well done.
So good. I've never heard. When was that?
That was 2018. Yeah. So there you go. I'll give you the last one because it's called Maven. That was launched in 2013. Curiosity was launched in 2011. And that's three this decade. And there's only been six missions to Mars in total.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, of course, there will be more, hopefully, in the next decade. Mm. So I believe you're still tying on six each.
Is there life on Mars?
Yep. That David Bowie. Question number seven. What connects the West African black rhino, the Pinta Island tortoise, and the St. Helena giant earwig? What connects those three?
Are they all extinct?
They are all extinct. But what in particular ties them together?
Being by poor mass.
Were they all poached to extinction for this part of their body?
No.
Is it kind of though? A little bit wrong?
That's not what I'm looking for.
Were they all made extinct this year?
Close enough. I'll give it to you. They're all declared extinct this decade. Okay. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's not the same.
It's close.
He does not get that point.
I couldn't be bothered to pursue that. So 7-6 to Martin.
Is not the same as this decade.
Question number eight. Which African...
No, did I say this year and then this decade?
Sticking with this decade, all right? Which African country is the only state to have joined the UN this decade? This decade.
Joined the UN. Who would it have been?
Which African state?
It's an African country. And it's the only country to have joined the UN this decade.
I wouldn't even know how to hazard a guess. I declare
that the answer is... I'm going to go for Tunisia.
No. You got a guess, Alex?
Ghana?
Nope. It's in the northern part of Africa.
Inspired by that same friend.
Ethiopia?
No. A bit further north, I think.
Further north? Kenya? Yeah.
No.
It's like north. East, isn't it?
There are two words in its name. The first word is a compass direction.
North.
No.
It's definitely not South Africa, so...
But that's not called that anymore, is it? North, it's south.
It's in northern Africa. But its name doesn't have north in it.
East Anglia.
East Anglia.
I don't know.
It's known for being a very deserty place. Very desert part of Africa.
South Sudan?
Yes, correct. South Sudan. So I think that's 7-6 to Martin.
No, I think it's actually 8-6 now. Ooh. Yeah,
7-6. I didn't get the last one. Yep. I said last year. That's just wrong.
Oh, fine. Well, there's a chance for you to catch up,
no,
Alex.
No, it's fine. Robin's given you the point. You can have the point. That's okay.
It's Christmas time coming up. We all know this. You all know your Christian festivals, don't you? Your Christian calendar is full to the brim with all the church services, I'm sure. Yeah. So what does the Christian festival of Epiphany celebrate? Epiphany. Happens in the new year after Christmas.
What does it celebrate?
Yeah, what's it about?
We have an epiphany.
Let's work this one out together.
So you have an epiphany.
It's like a sudden realization.
Yes, a realization of something new.
Yeah. New year, meaning?
New life.
No, that's wrong.
I mean, it's not incorrect because this is Christmas, right? So
yes.
New life is the birth of Christ. Yes. Yeah.
Should know this, right? Shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Epiphany. Mm. Oh dear, this is embarrassing. Mm.
Can we have a clue?
Well, that's gonna be tough. Though, isn't
just
it?
Think.
Is it to do with a particular religious figure, like specifically?
Not a particular person, but it is to do with people.
Okay.
And it's to do with Christmas and the Nativity. So think back to your Nativity plays. Yes. And,
so it's to do with the three wise men.
Yeah.
And them returning with the good word of Jesus. It's the word of the Lord. The Lord is risen. They've gone back to their bases and spread the gospel. Spreading the word. Often they said, he's born. We followed the star. We found
close,
him.
But you got the wrong end of it.
He's dead.
that is not the wrong end. You're literally so close. You just
the wise men.
Yeah,
spreading the word of Christ,
going to these and finding Jesus and going, here he is. We found him.
I haven't heard a buzzer.
Excellence.
Is it finding Jesus and discovering Jesus and being like, we found him.
It's the giving of gifts. It's the giving of gifts.
Essentially, it's the visit of the Magi.
They gave the gifts.
Oh, that's mine then, because I buzzed and... Yeah.
No.
I buzzed and said that.
That's not what you said.
I said finding him and just...
That's not what you said. Discovering Jesus.
Martin said the last year and got the decade question.
And he hasn't
question.
Got the point. He retracted it, so I'm afraid
no,
he can't
still got
it.
The point.
So it's 8-6 to Martin.
Still.
Question number 10.
Martin didn't get that point, right?
Yeah, he did.
But he didn't even say it.
He said it. He said it was the visit of the wise men.
Okay, fine.
Sorry, everyone at home, if that's a controversial ruling, comment below.
It's actually
who you think should get
the
point.
9-6 in that fact.
No, it's actually 8-6. It's 8-6.
No,
it's 8-6.
No, you haven't.
Question number 10. Can you tell me?
Doesn't matter now, does it?
What is the saltire?
Solitaire?
Saltire.
It's a card game.
S-A-L-T-A-R-A-I-R-E.
S-A-L-T-I-R-E, yeah.
Saltire.
Saltire.
What is the saltire? I'm letting you just have a guess if you fancy it.
Oh, thanks for that. I really appreciate that. Mm. A saltire.
Yes, a saltire.
The saltire.
The saltire.
A specific thing.
Is it a...
it's fermented in the bottle.
It's not fermented. No.
The saltire, is it like a like an emperor of something?
No.
Or
it's a
world leader?
I know where you're going. But yeah.
Sultan of Brunei.
That's what I had in my head.
Yeah.
In a way, you're on the right lines. But that's not the answer.
I don't know. I really don't know.
You will see it a lot at international sporting events.
It's French champagne. It's vintage.
Is it an adjudicator? A referee?
No. It's a one thing. It's the saltire. It's one thing.
The judge.
And you'll see it at certain international sporting events.
International sporting
events?
If
one side is involved.
Okay. One particular side.
So think of things that represent nations, which is where you're on the right lines with a king. Not the flag bearer.
The flag. Just the flag.
Yeah, just the flag.
Is
so
it?
Which flag, is it?
The flag.
Yeah.
It's a flag. Oh my goodness, yeah. This is bad, isn't it? I don't know that. The saltire.
It's a flag you're
the saltire
with.
Is the...
Excellence. There is a California champ.
Is it the Union Jack?
It's not the Union. That's the Union flag.
Union flag.
The saltire, the Scottish
It is.
Yeah.
It is the Scottish flag. Yeah. Wow. Across the St. Andrew.
Well, do you know what, actually? Technically, the Scottish flag is within the Union flag.
You were
so
very close.
In the same way that Martin got the decade question right.
But he didn't. You retracted it, and I agreed. So that is... I don't even know what it is. That's now. 17-0 to Martin. No, it is 9-6 to Martin. Yeah. Well played, though. That's a very high score.
Playing up the whole...
The first one was worth 4 points.
I'm playing up the whole cheating thing, but no.
I do have a tiebreaker.
You won.
Well done.
Fair and square.
We did the tiebreaker anyway?
Yeah.
Sure.
This is actually a tricky one because I didn't know the answer to this because I don't eat it. But can you tell me, what is a ploughman's lunch?
Yes.
Being by poor man's song.
Do you have all the different bits?
Yes. Component
you got
parts.
Cheddar cheese.
Uh huh.
Doesn't have to be.
Or Stilton.
Yeah.
Can be. You got bread.
Yeah.
Often a sourdough.
Sourdough.
Or a farmhouse loaf.
Really? Pickle? Pickles
yeah,
in there?
Pickle.
That is it. Is that it?
Bread, cheese, and pickle. That's all you need for a ploughman's lunch.
Kind of
well
others,
done.
Though. Kind of other bits and pieces. You can have your little gherkins.
Not, that's a pickle.
Oh, okay, but you can have actual pickle. You can have like pickles in like Branston pickle or pickles.
Oh, that's not real pickle. Mm. That's just a crime against humanity.
Martin still gets
the
point because
like
that's the
like.
Equivalent of saying like last year when it's actually the decade.
You get the point. You get the point. All right. Fine. Well done for losing, Alex. And congratulations to Martin for a well-deserved win.
Yay!
Well done, Martin. Well done.
Yeah.
That was fun. Thanks, Robin.
Yeah, that was a good quiz. Well,
thank you.
Thank you.
And really interesting topics. And I'm looking forward to what we're going to discuss in the Patreon exclusive podcast, which we're about to record after this one.
Yep.
And don't forget to check out beer52.com/bunker for an exclusive offer to get, what was it?
10 free
beers.
A box
of 8 beers plus two free ones.
Plus 2 free ones.
All for the price of $4.95.
Yes,
which is
crazy. I'm going to do that myself as soon as we finish recording.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, we'll see you next time. Actually, no, we won't. We'll see you over on the Patreon.
Yeah, see you on the Patreon.
So we'll leave a link in the description, and we'll see you then.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.